Show 948. Well, we need to change the show up here a little bit. I had been in touch with the governor's office, and we were going to have him on today, and then I was told it didn't work, except when it does, because Governor Scott Walker joins us now live on the phone. We'll make this work. Governor, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, sorry about that, but we're in route from one step to the next, so glad to be on with you. Glad to be on here in a week when we started changing withholding because we've lowered taxes and put more money back in the people's paychecks.
Never apologize for showing up unexpected on this show, Governor. That's perfectly well. Let's talk about that, because that obviously, you know, that is what you're talking about this week. And I do want to get into some other elements of the legislative session, but this, you know, as closely as you were watched for Act 10, you know, in terms of conservative watchers around the country, what you have done, as Rush Limbaugh called it, is nothing short of phenomenal when it comes to the latest reform, and that is returning tax dollars to taxpayers.
That's right. We've cut this latest tax relief, $500 million of outright property income tax added to it this week with another $320+ million we put into withholding tax changes. In total, that means $100 or more people are going to see their property taxes go down by. They're going to see an extra $58 on top of all the money we saved in income taxes last year. And then with withholding reform, a typical working family, mom and dad work with two kids, starting April 1st to the end of the year, are going to see an extra $520+ in their paycheck yet this year. That's real money, and that's the third time in less than a year we've cut taxes on property, on income, on employers. We understand if you're going to fuel the economy and you're going to continue the surpluses, the best way to do it is putting more money back in the hands of the hardworking taxpayers.
Talking with Governor Scott Walker, what's your take? There are a number of bills that didn't get done in this legislative session, and some people say that that's because there was a little bit of maybe rancor is not the right word, between Assembly and Senate leadership. What's your assessment of what Republicans did accomplish this time?
I think overall it's great, and I think going into the next session, it's all the more reason why hopefully the Senate will pick up a seat or so, because, you know, I give Scott Fitzgerald, sometimes he gets a little brief. I think Senator Fitzgerald's done a good job. He's got an interesting caucus to balance there. He's got a retiring member that was kind of all over the map, and now I think we're likely to see not only that seat replaced, but another one added, and that'll make it a lot easier, much like some of the work the state assembly's been doing. But think about it. $2 billion worth of tax relief over the past 3 years, much of that in this session alone. Property taxes will actually be down this December, lower on a typical home than they were in December of 2010, $100 or more lower than they were last year. You see major reforms in terms of moving people off of entitlements from government dependence to true independence. You see statewide school choice, even though some would have liked to have a higher volume, you've got the ability for it to start to prove itself across the state. You see real reforms in so many other areas. I think all in all, there's been a lot of good work done over the last year and a half.
There has been. Now, one of the things that wasn't addressed was photo ID, and obviously it's being challenged in the courts right now. I believe it's going to be struck down. The conventional wisdom seems to be that a special or maybe even extraordinary session would be called if that happens. Why not? Wouldn't it make sense for the legislature to have a special session preemptively and fix it? I know the Indiana law, which survived U.S. Supreme Court muster, things are a little different in Wisconsin. Why not just do that?
Well, that's one of the things we're looking at. As you heard probably me saying across the state over the last few weeks, initially I said I'd call a special session if that's what it took, but I was still hopeful before things adjourned on Tuesday that the state Senate would bring up the bill that the assembly passed, which I think addresses those issues. I think there's a number of really easy fixes that could be made that I'm not an attorney, but the attorneys who listened to both the federal and the state court findings on this believe that there's a few reasonable adjustments we could make that would allow this law to be upheld, as you mentioned, just like it has been in other states. And I think that's imperative, because for us, we want people to vote, but we want people to vote fairly. So we want to make it easy to vote, hard to cheat. And one of the best ways to do that is to have a workable voter ID law. It worked 3 years ago when we passed it, that primary election in February of 2011. There's no reason why it can't work again. We just need to make a few reasonable accommodations that allow it to be upheld legally.
So if I understand you, you're saying we could see a special session even before court rulings?
Yeah, that's one of the things, you know, if we can get the legislature to act, I believe firmly that what the version the Assembly passed or something very close to that is something that would address the concerns that I've heard from reasonable attorneys about what they think needs to be done to guarantee that this could be upheld. My sense is if we get the Senate to agree with that, I don't need to wait until something happens in the courts. We could do it any time between now and then.
Also on voting.
We'll see. Obviously, we want to work with leadership of both houses. But in the end, I think the changes or adjustments we need to make have been pretty clearly laid out.
Also on voting, perhaps the most demagogued bill of the session was the uniform early voting hours. You actually vetoed that in a way that I liked. I didn't understand the 45-hour limit. That made no sense to me. But respond, if you will, to the demagoguery that somehow, and I actually think it's almost racism, for Democrats to allege that blacks and other minorities can't figure out how to vote in 10 business days before Election Day. I just think it's obnoxious and offensive to call this voter suppression.
Well, particularly when you have hours that start before most people work and end well after most people are off of work, it's ridiculous that for all that time. And the example I give when people say, well, wait a minute, why is this against larger communities like Madison or Milwaukee? Well, no, it's not. It's about uniform voting hours. We have had in this state for years, as we have across America, uniform voting hours on Election Day. What they're suggesting is that somehow it's okay that a few big communities are able to have voting hours that others aren't able to do in smaller communities out there. That to me would be like saying, well, you know what? We're going to have uniform hours from 7 to 8 on Election Day, but we're going to let Waukesha or Washington or Ozaukee counties vote till 9 o'clock. Well, of course, people would scream that was unfair. And that's essentially kind of what's been happening in the past. This just says, for all those days, they got a week and a half before the election, you got plenty of time and plenty of days, starting as early as 8 o'clock in the morning, going till 7 o'clock at night, that in any of those days, they can hold open the location where that municipality designates to go vote in advance. And I think it's a reasonable process. If it was just one day, maybe people could grumble, but you got plenty of days, plenty of times in advance. There's no reason why this can't be done, and it guarantees it's done the same way, big or small or anywhere in between across the state.
I got to throw a softball at you here to finish up. I heard you on another radio station saying you will not be in Texas for the Final Four. Whatever happened to rank has its privileges, Governor.
Yeah, of all things, my youngest son's a freshman at UW. He will be there. He was one of the lucky ones who got the. There was a random email sent out to 700 season ticket holders for students out there, and he got his ticket, get this, for $40. They offered him the students on that lottery.
Wow.
He and four of his buddies are going to be driving down. And I figured for the $800 or $900, I might have to pay. I really didn't want to sit up in the nosebleed section. So I'm going to be like most people in the state Saturday night. A bunch of friends are coming over for some sandwiches, a little potluck. Everybody's bringing their own dish. And we're going to be watching the Badgers take on Kentucky and win and make it to Monday night's final.
By the way, Kentucky bourbon versus Wisconsin beer, brats, and cheese. Best governor bet ever, Governor Walker.
Isn't that awesome?
There's no loser there.
It.
None at
exactly
all.
Exactly right.
Governor Walker, listen, thanks so much for joining us. I greatly, greatly appreciate you making time.
Thanks, Jerry. Bye now.
Governor Scott Walker, that is the best gubernatorial bet ever. All right, I do want to, we didn't really see a lot of calls on it anyway, but I do want to finish up on the topic that we were on. And I was going to ask the governor about it, but I actually did want to ask him about the Final Four. The banning video recording of teachers in the classroom. Didn't really get the phones ringing on that, but I want to double back on that for a few minutes and then get to other things after 10 o'clock. It's 9:58.
Twitter, go to jerrybatershow.com.